Hoping obviously us to talk about hitherto, what the Lord has done for us up to now. And just thought we could look at a few different sections of what the Lord has not only done for me, but also done for hopefully each and every one of us. So the Christian life is a journey that's marked by spiritual milestones, and each of those is a connection that you can build with God and that Jesus has created for us. You know, from the first encounter to God to ongoing spiritual awareness, participation in different practices which the Lord has asked of us, and each stage shapes the believer's identity and faith. So I do apologize for the, I tried to make a AI photo of Mount Everest with the different steps, but it just put a couple of them in twice. So just bear with it. But essentially, if we go to the first one, so the first step in the Christian's life is obviously the conversion to Christianity. And this really is a personal turning point in your life where you make a choice for God. You make a choice that you want to accept Jesus as your personal savior. And of course, the first thing that you need to understand is, well, that you need a savior. If you don't know you need a savior, then truly you are lost. So with understanding the need of a savior, if you read in Romans 3, verse 23, that tells you about your need of being a savior. And then if we can act on that, act on the needing a savior, so exactly what you want to do. So I've just put a few scriptures up there, and you can feel free to turn to them if you want. Just take a second. Well, I probably should have put markers in this, but we will learn again. So this acting upon it, what you have to do, Romans 10 verse 9, and it just says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For me, it's very, very simple. There's nothing hard that you need to do. It's just an easy step, and we have that encouragement that you will be saved. And like we say, it's not a hard thing to do. The work has already been completed. And if we convert to Christianity, we can come into the benefit that the Lord has to offer us. With obviously converting to Christianity, it's a decision from turning away from the sin. And it does involve repentance and faith, trusting in our Lord Jesus. So the next that we wanted to talk about is baptism. So baptism usually comes next. Now, I know for a lot of us that baptism would come early on in our lives, not just our Christian lives. Quite a lot of Christian parents would see fit and enjoy to baptize the children just after they're born to show that is what they intend for their children. That's the intent on their lives. So the baptism is, as it says, a foundational Christian rite. It symbolizes spiritual cleansing and our union with Jesus' death and resurrection. And it is we're coming to be a Christian may be an internal thing, a decision you make, and just off an impression that you have. This is quite often a public commitment to show others that this is the decision that you've made, and this is the way that you want to live your life. If you look in Acts 2, verse 38, it says that we should repent and be baptized, each one of us, in the name of Jesus Christ. And that is who we are baptized. If you've ever been to a baptism, and thank the Lord if you have, but you are baptized to the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I think it's important that each of them are mentioned, but we have to be baptized to Jesus' death, to just be in line with him. And although we can never be like Jesus, we try and keep our lives in line with what he would want us to be. So the next bit is the consciousness of the Holy Spirit. Now, I have to say, in the past, there is a lot of things that if you read the second point there, I would have put a lot of things down to luck before I came to the Lord. You know, if you have a car crash, but you're wearing your seatbelt, that's just, you got lucky. Or you go outside without your coat on and you don't catch a chill, that's just lucky. But for me, since I have become a Christian, I have really, really noticed the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit makes God's plan known to us. And that's really, really important. And I can say absolutely, I know in my life, the Holy Spirit helps me an awful lot. And you do well to be conscious of the Holy Spirit. Because when you're struggling, you know, sometimes we find that our friends, as we sometimes sing, they fail or they leave us. But the Holy Spirit and Jesus is someone that you can always speak to. They're always there. Just as Ollie said, Jesus wants to be intertwined with your life. And that is so true. So true. And I would just ask that if you don't have that link with Christ, the Holy Spirit is that link. When he came down at Pentecost, the Lord had died and he said, I will send you a comforter. And we were sent the Holy Spirit. And we can pray to the Holy Spirit and ask for guidance. You know, we read in Philippians 4 that the Holy Spirit will give us strength for the tasks that God has asked of us. You know, it does, let's turn to it just quickly so we can get it correct. So in Philippians, which is after Ephesians. So in Philippians 4 verse 13, so it says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Now, I was actually corrected on this not too long ago because I thought, great. God strengthens me, therefore I can do anything. But what I was corrected to is that the Spirit gives us strength for the tasks that God has asked of us. When Jesus said to the disciples, go out and make fishers of men. And, you know, that is a task that we are given to go out into the world and to speak to people, tell them about our Lord. And I'll be the first one to say, it's a very, very hard task. It's a very challenging thing to stand up, especially in a world where people don't want to know anything about the Lord. They don't want to know about his things. And you have to have great courage. And from standing up and preaching and from speaking to people, I can tell you, I shake like a leaf. But the Holy Spirit, if you trust him, if you really do trust him and know the power of the Holy Spirit, he gives you strength for those times. He gives you the words to speak. The Holy Spirit helps you with everything that you need help with. And like I say, it gives us strength for the tasks that God has asked of us. And the final thing that I wanted to touch on today is the Lord's Supper. So after you've become a Christian and got baptized, you've got a sense of the Holy Spirit. The Lord has said to us, and it's one of the only things that the Lord actually asks of us. He says, do this in remembrance of me. So it's our reminder of the Lord giving his life for us and our joy to do as he asked. It's such a small thing. If you think of any one of your friends and, you know, if they would actually give their life for you. But this is so much more. The Lord gave his life for us and took away the sin. He paid the price, and through him we can have life. And the Lord's Supper is just our reminder. Now, I know that some people, a lot of people will do it every Lord's Day. Some people do it more often. Some people do it daily. But this is just one thing that the Lord has asked of us. And so we should do it joyfully. We should do it joyfully with willing hearts, because the Lord has done everything for us. The Lord has done everything for us, and all he's asked is to believe on me, or believe on the Lord, and do this in remembrance of me. Do you know, we're finding recently with fuel prices that some places are trying to keep their prices low, and fuel is running out in certain areas. And that can be the same, especially with everything that's going on in the Middle East, you know, bread and wine. There may be a time when they become short, when there isn't enough to go around. But Jesus' forgiveness, there is always more than enough to go around, more than every single person would need. Jesus paid the price. Jesus paid the price for us. And we, through that, can have eternal life with our sins forgiven if we'll just accept it. And so just to conclude, you know, the early Christian life is marked with lots of these different milestones, from baptism to the consciousness of the Holy Spirit, and then, of course, the Lord's Supper. And participation in all of these is not necessary to make you a Christian. It doesn't make you a better Christian to do the Lord's, to take part in the Lord's Supper. It doesn't make you a better Christian to be baptized. But I firmly believe that for all the Lord has done for me, that I should want to do everything for him. And I just thank the Lord for everything that he has done for me. And I just want to give back everything that I can. And each step that we've gone through today represents a relationship with either God in one of the three beings, whether it's the Lord's Supper in remembering the Lord, whether it's the consciousness of the Holy Spirit in the Holy Spirit's part. But each of these will create a fuller understanding of faith, and together they form our lifelong spiritual journey. I don't have much more to say, but I just would say, if you are beginning on this journey, considering this journey, or if you have completed this journey up till now, make the choice for the Lord. It's the best thing you'll do.